नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय इति तं विविदोपायाय विषयं स्थजन्नादिभिः प्रह्रादं ग्राह्यम् आसा त्रिवर्गस्योपपादनम् इति तं विविदोपायाय विषयं स्थजन्नादिभिः प्रह्रादं ग्राह्यम् आसा त्रिवर्गस्योपपादनम्
Sanda and Amarka, the teachers of Prahlad Maharaj, chastised and threatened their disciple in various ways and began teaching him about the path of religion, economic development, and sense gratification. This is the way they educated him. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this verse, the words prahradam grahayam asa are important. The words grahayam asa literally mean that they tried to induce Prahlad Maharaj to accept the paths of dharma, artha, and kama, religion, economic development, and sense gratification. People are generally preoccupied with these three concerns without interest in the path of liberation. Hiranyakashipu, the father of Prahlad Maharaj, was simply interested in gold and sense enjoyment. The word Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu refers to soft cushions and bedding on which people enjoy sense gratification. The word Prahlad, however, refers to one who is always joyful in understanding Brahman, Brahmabhuta Prasanatma. Prahlad means Prasanatma, always joyful. Prahlad was always joyful in worshipping the Lord, but in accordance with the instructions of Hiranyakashipu, the teachers were interested in teaching him about material things, materialistic persons. Think that the path of religion is meant for improving their material conditions. The materialist goes to a temple to worship many varieties of demigods just to receive some benediction to improve his material life. He goes to a sadhu, or so-called Swami, to take advantage of an easy method for achieving material opulence. In the name of religion, the so-called sadhus try to satisfy the senses of the materialists by showing them shortcuts to material opulence. Sometimes they give some talisman or blessing. Sometimes they attract materialistic person by producing gold. Then they declare themselves God. And foolish materialists are attracted to them for economic development. As a result of this process of cheating, others are reluctant to accept a religious process, and instead they advise people in general to work for material advancement. This is going on all over the world. Not only now, but since time immemorial. No one is interested in moksha, liberation. There are four principles: dharma, religion, artha, economic development, kama, sense gratification, and moksha, liberation. People accept religion to become materially opulent, And why should one be material opulent? For sense gratification. Thus people prefer these three margas, the three paths of materialistic life. No one is interested in liberation and Bhagavad Bhakti. Devotional service to the Lord is even above liberation. Therefore, the process of devotional service, Krishna consciousness, is extremely difficult to understand. This will be explained later by Prahlad Maharaj. The teacher Sanda and Amarka tried to induce Prahlad Maharaj to accept the materialistic way of life, but actually their attempt was a failure. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, entitled Prahlad, the Saintly Son of Hiranyakashipu. Text 18. Sanda and Amarka, who were specifically commissioned by Hiranyakashipu, were the prominent teachers of the children of the capital of the kingdom of Hiranyakashipu. Obviously, this was a very special school. Not an ordinary child could go to this school. It was the child that the king of the universe's son was enrolled. And obviously the other students must have been from very, very high officials in Hiranyakashipu's government, ministers, and so forth. Because how we imbibe education in our children is what determines the future of the world, or specifically the future of our movement or our temple or our family. So obviously, Hiranyakashipu was going to get the best teachers in the universe to teach his sons. Not just the best teachers in a particular planet. He had a very broad facility to choose from. Anyone he wanted would teach for him. So Shukracharya is the guru of the whole Asura race. He chose the sons of Shukracharya to be the teachers, to carry on his legacy. But it's very interesting. Not exactly carrying on his legacy, because he already got benedictions in which he was convinced he was immortal. Usually we think that when we die, we educate our children so that when we retire and die, then they will carry on what we have established. Yes? But he performed all these tapasyas already and received the benedictions of Brahma, by which he was convinced he was immortal. There would be no death. He would never lose his strength and his power for all of eternity. He was convinced he was going to be the king of the universe forever. Even Brahma only lives a mere 311 trillion years. That was not satisfactory to Hiranyakashipu, because then he would still have to worry about dying. So he was training his son to be right with him forever. Like father, like son. So Sandana Marka, they were teaching according to Hiranyakashipu's priorities. There was no PTA, Parent Teachers Association. There's no Sangam of the parents coming together. We want our education for our children like this. We don't want this particular type of exam standards. We want them. No. Hiranyakashipu said, like this. I want them to be puppets in my hand. So it was a demoniac school. But it's interesting to see. Compared to the schools today, they were teaching not moksha. There was no mention of moksha. That was taboo. That was outlawed. They were teaching religion, economic development, and sense gratification. Now today, in most of the schools in the world, they don't allow religion. It's only economic development and sense gratification. So the only part that was really any good in Hiranyakashipu's school isn't even allowed in the schools today, mostly. But Prahlad had experienced a higher taste. Vishayava nivartante niraharasya dehena rasavarajam rasopyasya param dristva nivartate. One can only give up the lower pleasures, the mundane aspirations of the mind and senses, if one experiences something higher. How we experience a higher taste is very much revealed in the life of Prahlad. Sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarava sastra hoy, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarava siddhi hoy. By associating with saintly people, by keeping the company of people who have a higher taste, if we are receptive to that association, we also develop an aspiration for a higher taste. This is a principle that is repeated throughout the histories of the great scriptures. Mugrari, by association with Narada Muni, developed a higher taste, was able to give up his sinful activities. Nityananda Prabhu, Haridas Thakur, wherever they went, just by associating with them and reciprocating with what they were giving, even Jagai and Madhai, they got a higher taste. Those men were so voracious. They were constantly requiring drinking intoxications. They were always. They couldn't live without it. They were addicted, not only to intoxication, they were addicted to drinking the blood of animals. They were addicted to causing pain to human beings. To them, robbing, killing was an addiction. What to speak of sex? They were madmen. But just by associating with Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya, they developed a higher taste. They wouldn't look at these things. They wouldn't think of these things. They repented for the rest of their lives, all the bad things that they have done. But that repentance didn't just cause depression. That repentance caused them to go deeper and deeper and deeper into taking shelter of the Lord. That is actually the purpose of repentance. In every great religion, there is a system, a requirement, that we should repent for our past and our present sins, our deviations. Now, people today, they don't like this idea of religion. The more New Age type of religion is, don't repent. Forget about it. Just do your thing and you know, just do some yoga or pranayama or do some prayer and you're all right. Just do a few good things. Give some charity. But one who is serious must repent. One must feel ashamed and guilty for what they have done in the past. But not just to live in depression. But that repentance has two primary purposes. One, it helps us to prevent from doing the mistakes again. If we take it lightly, we'll do it again, definitely, because Maya is very strong. But if we're repentant, then it helps us to actually understand the seriousness and have the determination not to do it. But also, more important than that, in repentance, we understand that we have let down Krishna for so many births. So how I should take shelter of Krishna? Because Maya is very strong. So actually, the real spirit of repentance in Vaishnavism doesn't make you depressed. It brings you hope. It brings you joy, inner joy, because it helps you really, really take shelter of the Lord through prayer, through really absorbing ourselves in the process of devotional service and chanting the holy names, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And it humbles us so that we can actually do that. Unless we have a humble state of mind, we cannot take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vaishnavas, the holy name, or any aspect of devotional service. We may be able to practice it routinely, but we cannot take shelter. And practicing something routinely will not save you. Sharanagati is the only thing that can save us. To focus on the greatness, the mercy, and the love of Krishna, and to take shelter of that. The mercy, the greatness, and the love of the Vaishnavas. To merge our consciousness in taking shelter of that. To understand the need, the dependence for that. So Prahlad Maharaj, and in this process we get a higher taste. We have heard that in previous life, Prahlad was not all that transcendental. he made some mistakes. But because he did some good things. It was all the Leela of the Lord, obviously. But he's come to teach us. But due to Samagyata Sukriti, he was given the association of Narada Muni. Now, so many people had the association of Narada Muni. But we have the choice. Association with people give us the higher taste, provide we reciprocate. We accept what they're giving. Narada Muni preached to the sons of Daksha, and he also preached to Daksha. The sons surrendered, and Daksha cursed him. Same person, willing to give the same message. Mercy comes in the association, but how we receive it is according to how we're going to benefit or lose the chance. Narada Muni spoke this message to both Prahlad and his mother simultaneously. His mother heard every single word that Prahlad heard. Yes? It was impossible for her to hear something else. Because Prahlad was inside of her. Whatever came to Prahlad had to go through her. Through her body, the sound vibration. So she heard everything. And they were both afterward living with Hiranyakashipu. One is a son, one is a wife. The difference is the wife didn't really take shelter of the message of Narada Muni. It was easier and more convenient to please her husband. Prahlad Maharaj heard the same message. He was also in the house of Hiranyakashipu. And in certain ways, it's easier for the wife to disobey the husband than the son when he's only 5 years old. Yes? At least, that's my understanding of marriage life. So she was obviously very faithful to her husband. But by his association to please him, she didn't practice what Narada Muni spoke. At least not so much. But Prahlad, even though his father was so strongly trying to program him, even to the extent where we see he's being persecuted, he followed the teachings of Narada Muni. That means he was always associating with Narada Muni. Because association with the great souls, there is Vapu and there's Vani. The Vapu is a medium to give us a message. But the Vani is actually what's going to transform our lives. So Narada Muni's Vapu was there, and his Vani was there for both the mother and the son. Prahlad remembered the words of Narada Muni and followed them. He reciprocated. Therefore, he was experiencing a higher taste. And therefore, Sandanamarka, we see in many dramas of this particular Leela, generally Sandanamarka look like really stupid people. Yes, they're like, they're really like wild and dumb, and it's complete misrepresentation. Total misrepresentation. I guarantee you, if Sandanamarka came before you, you would not laugh like you do in those dramas. You would never laugh.
They were Sukracharya's sons. They were empowered demons. They were Brahmins, but they were deeply learned, highly charismatic, and millions of times powerful than any materialistic person in this world today. They made Hitler, Mussolini, and these people, as far as power and charisma, they made them like little girls in Gopal's garden. It may have not been as evil, but as far as powerful and able to influence others, they were not even of this earth. Sanda Mark are from the higher planets. And here's little Prahlad, and he's being taught by them. And he's being chastised severely by them. Because as far as Sanda and Amarka are concerned, their life was on the line. If they don't teach Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu could destroy them. The only reason he didn't is because they were the sons of his guru. What to speak of their reputation as teachers? Very bad public relations for their teaching, what do you call it? I'm not good at all those business words. When you give your qualifications? Resume, yes. It wasn't very good for their resume. That Prahlad became a Vaishnav in their school. So they were putting all their energy, everything. But Prahlad was not interested. Nothing could faze him. Because he was experiencing the higher taste due to having the association of Narada Muni, his Guru Maharaj. And many times Srila Prabhupada would emphasize the Hare Krishna movement is in the disciplic succession of Narada Muni. That means that same grace that Prahlad Maharaj received is coming to all of us. There's no difference. What Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Bhaktivinod, and all of these great souls, they are all in the line of Narada Muni as preachers. Same mercy. The line of Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. That same power of the same mercy is there. It's depending on just how we reciprocate. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining how materialistic people, they think that religion is meant simply to improve their materialistic life. And in that sense, factually, Hiranyakashipu was religious. In one sense, he was a religious man. In the sense that it was a perverted religion, no doubt. But he performed all those severe austerities and did all those rituals to please Lord Brahma. He understood there was a higher power. And he understood that he can satisfy his material desires far greater if he can satisfy that higher power of Lord Brahma. He didn't worship Vishnu for obvious reasons. It's amazing. Vishnu is the Supreme Lord, the ultimate goal of all religion, and he's worshiping Brahma, the original guru, who teaches how to love Vishnu. Yes? And he's worshiping Brahma,
with the intent purpose to get the power to kill Vishnu. That was his religion. He was approaching Brahma in his religion for the purpose of killing God. Not loving God, but killing God. Why? For his materialistic enjoyment. Srila Prabhupada writes here that this Krishna consciousness teaching or devotional service is extremely difficult to understand. Because people are not so much interested in liberation. They're more interested in either being irreligious or to practice religion for irreligious purposes. Or even to be pious in religion for the purpose of improving our material life. Hardly anyone, even they may talk about salvation and all these things, is really seeking liberation. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudulabha prasantatma kotishvati mahamune. It's very difficult, Lord Chaitanya said, to find anyone who's seeking liberation in their spiritual path. Talking about it, anyone can do. But the path of liberation, the Nivritti Marg, means tapasya. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam. The impersonalists, the real impersonalists, they follow heavy tapasya. Of regulating their mind, regulating their senses for the purpose of liberation. How many people want that? They want to do some puja so that they can get something better for their economic development, their sense gratification through their family and everything else. So liberation is rare. The Prabhupada explains Bhagavad Bhakti is far greater than liberation. The pleasure of liberation is like a drop, Rupa Goswami tells, compared to the ocean of pleasure in Bhagavad Bhakti, in devotional service. So, sometimes Prabhupada says that Krishna consciousness is so simple, even a child can understand it. Like when he would talk about little Saraswati here in Bombay, she was 4 years old. And she was doing it even when she was younger than 4 years old. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She wasn't a Vedantist, but she knew that. And she liked prasad, and she loved to chant and dance, and she loved devotees. Prabhupada said, this is real knowledge. So simple. That even a child can understand. But here in Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says, the process of devotional service, Krishna consciousness, is extremely difficult to understand. Prabhupada said it's simple for the simple, and it's very difficult for those who have a very complicated way of living and who have ulterior motives. Things are so much based on our motives. If we have ulterior motives, Krishna consciousness is very difficult to understand. If we don't have material motives, it's very simple. It can be understood in minutes.
You're not this body. You're the eternal soul. You're part of Krishna. Krishna is the supreme, all-attractive, loving personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. And by serving him with love, you could realize him and attain eternal bliss. And by hearing about him and chanting his holy names, sincerely, this love awakens. In essence, that's all there is. You could learn a crore of slokas, but in essence, that's what it's about. This is what you have to do. It's very easy. A child can understand. But why is it so very difficult to understand? Not only for materialistic karmi people, but even for devotees who may even read Bhagavad Gita every day and who give classes. Do they really understand it? As long as you have ulterior motives, you cannot really understand it. You can intellectualize it. But the understanding of the heart, to really get it. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, Sharalata, simplicity, is the first principle in real spiritual life. On the path of devotional service, simplicity is the beginning. If you don't have that foundation, everything else is going to be... It's there. It's going to help you. But it's not really going to enter into your heart and be understood. Unless you're simple. Humble and simple. And Krishna tells the same thing. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena seva. He doesn't just say, go listen to Guru's class. Go study in Guru's Gurukul, and you will know everything. He gives Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena seva. Three principles. One is being very simple and submitting yourself. To inquire submissively. Submissive means, and pranipat, that it really means to be simple. To submit yourself. I don't know. You know. And sevaya, what you say I'm going to do. If we do not approach Guru with this simplicity, with this humble inquiry, and with this willing to do what he says, then we cannot understand the truth. One sloka, Krishna, it's so clear. Therefore, sharalata, simplicity. That's what Krishna is talking about. No agenda, no ulterior motive. We want to understand. Prahlad is a little embryo. He was very simple. He accepted everything. And as a child, he remained very simple. Srila Prabhupada would speak very, very powerful philosophy. But sometimes he would say, I just have faith in what I have heard from my Guru Maharaj. And he was doing what his Guru Maharaj said. Praying on Jaladutta. I'm here for you, Gurudev. Now you can make me a failure or you can make me success, as you like. That's simplicity. So being a devotee doesn't mean just going through the forms. We must go through the forms. Those forms are necessary to purify us. But it also means to have the right attitude. Krishna didn't tell Arjuna that you can understand this teaching because you're sitting here in this class. He said, you can understand this teaching because you're not envious. Because you're my devotee and my friend. Because others heard Bhagavad Gita too. Not only in the battlefield of Kurukshetra did others hear it, but how many people have heard it since that time? Srila Prabhupada writes, he speaks many times, he even writes it as his introduction to Gita, that when he came to America, people asked him, which Gita should we study? And Prabhupada said, the reason I wrote this Bhagavad Gita as it is, because with a good conscience, I couldn't recommend any of them. Because although they're Sanskrit scholars who are actually intellectually understanding everything Krishna's saying from a grammatical point of view, yes, they understand each Sanskrit word and the same exact sloka, but each one is giving a different interpretation. Prabhupada took the same slokas from the same sources, but he didn't give his own interpretation. He just spoke with the simplicity of no motivation, selfish motivation. He didn't have his separate agenda. He just explained it as it is. As he heard it from his guru, who heard it from his guru, who heard it from his guru. The conclusion is simple, as it is. And the conclusion was very different. So yes, we can all be reading Gita. But in this whole room of so many hundreds of people, any line of the Gita or Bhagavatam, we may be repeating the same thing. Because we're in parampara. We all may repeat the message according to Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. But our particular understanding, everybody's understanding, is going to be according to their simplicity, according to their according to the realization that we get through our simplicity, our not having our own materialistic motivations. Prahlad, the most graphic example, maybe in the history of creation, Prahlad repeated the same exact instructions that he received from Narada Muni, and he was totally, fully empowered by Narada Muni with all his potencies. He repeated those same exact teachings to Hiranyakashipu. Hare Krishna. And you saw Hiranyakashipu's reaction. He started hissing like a venomous snake. He was so angry with this teaching. You're telling me I'm in a deep, dark well? You're telling me I should go to Vrindavan and worship Krishna? You should die, you little rascal. But it's exactly what Narada Muni told Prahlad. And even Narada Muni personally was an associate of Hiranyakashipu. He used to bow down to Hiranyakashipu. It says that all the demigods and even Narada Muni would just obey Hiranyakashipu. Because of his material motivations. Matirana Krishne Paratashvatova Mitopipityeti Grihakmatanam. That as long as you have this ulterior motive for your own personal sense enjoyment, for your mental, physical, you cannot understand this message. No matter who you hear from, no matter what you study, you'll never really understand it. You won't get it. As long as you just hold on to this ulterior motive. Prahlad told Hiranyakashipu this message. You're hearing the perfect truth through parampara. Why can't you understand? Because you have ulterior motives. You're still thinking in terms, I am the center, I am the enjoyer, and I must enjoy. But Prahlad's little school children, they understood. It appears that they understood to some extent because they were still quite simple. That's why educating children is very important. Not only in knowledge, but in the characteristics by which they have simple hearts. Then they can actually realize the truth. So yes, the process of devotional service, Krishna consciousness, is extremely difficult to understand. But simultaneously, it's the easiest thing for anyone to understand. It just depends on our association and by our own free will, what motivations we decide we want to be affected by. Now, some people may think, but I'm not simple. So is it hopeless for me? You have a choice today, at this very second, to become simple. Krishna will help you if you want to. If you want to be simple, if you do those things that are favorable to being simple, then Krishna will give you all help and he will empower you. Why are we not simple? Because we don't want it. We may say we want it, but we really don't want it. We want to hold on to these ulterior motives. No matter how many classes we hear, no matter how many times we get kicked by Maya, no matter how many anxieties, we want to hold on. But if we really want to let go, and we really take the medicine to let go, and Krishna will see the simplicity of that desire. I don't want to use Krishna for my purposes. I want to be used for Krishna's purposes. That's the difference between being complicated in religion and being simple in religion. Simple as that. I do not want to use Krishna for my purpose. I want to be fully at Krishna's disposal to be used for his purpose. If we just want that, long for that, pray for that, and try to live by that, then Krishna will give us. Prabhupada wanted just to be a puppet. Krishna, I'm yours. When we honestly, in our heart of hearts, want to say, Krishna, I'm yours, then in reciprocation, Krishna says, I am yours. That is love. Krishna wants us, he wants to give himself to us. But we only allow him to do it when we give ourselves to him. That's love. Love means mutual giving of yourselves. You cannot really receive someone's love. The love may be coming to you. Krishna's love is eternally, at every moment, coming to us. But yayatamam prapadyante. We can receive the love when we decide to love Krishna. Sadhunam hridayam mayam, sadhunam hridayam tvaham.
Because my devotee gives himself to me, I give myself to my devotee. Krishna's yours forever.
And you can understand that when you decide, I am Krishna's. I am for Krishna.
Krishna, let me be your instrument. Use me according to your wish.
Is there any questions?
Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. As you are telling about ulterior motives, so some gross ulterior motives are there, person understands. But sometimes a person has certain way to look things, or he has some experience in his life so that his perceptions are different. So when he receives the message, there is certain block, whether this is right or wrong. So how we can understand that our motives are not ulterior motives, or our motives are ulterior motive, which blocks us to get this knowledge, and how to transcend these ulterior motives, means even the subtle also, so that we can become good receptacle of the mercy.
Just be simple. So simple to be simple. Just want to serve. And do not have all kinds of schemes in order to fulfill your desires through your service. Yes? To serve. Yes? Radhe Shyam Prabhu, he wants water? Give him water. Radhe Shyam Prabhu, do you want water? I think he's ready to give. But if you're thinking, well, you know, if I give him water, then, you know, he may make me the vice president. And that's the ulterior motive. But if you just give him water because he wants water, then that's a servant. Yes? So we have all those ulterior motives. We should understand what they are, and we should not try to serve our ulterior motives. Like that example of the good dog and the bad dog, the divine and the demonic nature that is within us. We have both, all of us. We have this simple desire just to serve, to please. And we have another desire to be the enjoyer. So even when we're doing service, ulterior motives will definitely come into your mind until you're very purified. But with our intelligence, we understand, I don't want that. I'm not going to act for that. I'm going to pray to be free of that. And then we can become simple. That's what all these books and all these examples are for. To convince us not to want our own ulterior motives. But how many of them are in the mind? Countless. It's not either you have them or you don't. The path of bhakti is not for people only who don't. It's to teach people how to deal with it. And what we should really be desiring and how we should be desiring. And that we can make our decision today, at this moment. Does that make sense, what I said? Thank you.
Yes, Prabhu.
Maharaj, talking about this children's education, as I always am facing a lot of problem into that is, as a parent, we always have that type of a thinking in our mind that before the child comes to the teenage, because in Bombay, teenage, the boys are becoming so much completely contaminated with sex desire and all sorts of other contamination. So we have a desire in our heart that before my child comes to a teenage, he should be completely engrossed in Krishna's, in hearing, in chanting, in associating. That type of a desire, a sincere parent used to have it. So that at least from our side, we feel that we have done our responsibility. Then it is up to Krishna and them to decide what to go ahead. But now the problem that comes up is the child has been so much force and so much pressure is there because of the studies, so much subjects, so much studies, so much homework. And due to that reason, he finds it extremely difficult to go to that path about Krishna consciousness in a serious note. And then we force him to do that, and he is having so many other commitments. There is so much pressure going on in the house. And due to that reason, our relationship with the child becomes a little bit strained. And we feel that because of that thing, our relationship will become strained, and in future, it will be difficult for us to have that cordial relationship. So in that circumstances, what to do at this juncture, to give him more emphasis on Krishna consciousness or to just pull on for his studies? Because this is really becoming a very complicated matter right now.
The tape recording of this question should be sent to all the parents. We are dealing with this subject, actually. But in my opinion, in Prabhupada's opinion, yes, this particular type of educational system may program young people with an incredible amount of data, which they're going to forget 99% anyway. But it's not meant to give them good character or faith or happiness. The idea is the more data you have, the more you'll pass exams, the more you'll get good seats in colleges, the more money you'll make, and the more happy you'll get from that money. That's the whole system. But actually, most really intelligent parents who leaders of society and so forth, they don't even send their school to this system, their children to these systems. Some of the most of the wealthiest and most wealthiest men in this world were not even, they didn't even do good in that system in education. They didn't like it, they didn't do good in it. Some of them didn't even do it. So we are discussing, and it's my very, very, very strong opinion that our schools should have alternative systems that actually educate people so they're more learned, with good character, and with quality life by which they can become Krishna conscious. And there are systems like that. The only problem is the parents are just addicted to this, you know, just cramming data into their children's brains in the form of education and putting so much pressure. So you're asking my opinion, I have given. But it's also Prabhupada's opinion. So I sincerely believe there are systems that actually people who really know how to educate children, who really, really know how to educate children. They don't put such pressures on them. It's a very inferior form of education. If you learn a few things in a really, really suitable, pleasing, wonderful atmosphere, you'll remember that much more than 100 things in a suppressing atmosphere. Yes? You just learn it and learn it and learn it and cram it and cram it and cram it for the exam, and after the exam, it's gone. So what have you gained? A good grade, so you can be promoted. But how has that helped your life? What kind of system is this? Yes, education is very, very important for children, but if we want our children to have a quality of life, a Krishna conscious life, one of the biggest problems in India is young students committing suicide. It's a huge problem in India. Japan, America. It's almost like an epidemic. Students committing suicide because of the pressures of the parents. Somebody recently told me, here in India, one young student committed suicide. And in their note before they committed suicide, you know what they wrote? It's a true story. I can't mention names, but I know the names. I was just told this a few weeks ago. This young student committed suicide, and in their suicide note, which was like the last thought before death, they said, "My prayer is I could become a ghost to haunt my teacher for the rest of eternity." You're laughing? If it was your child, you wouldn't be laughing. And if you were the teacher, you wouldn't be laughing either. But that's serious. The child, just the teacher, just put so much pressure on the student. The student wanted to die just to haunt the teacher. It's not necessary. It's not that we're against this form of education. It's just not necessary. It doesn't really bring people, it doesn't make people saintly good people. You could learn the subjects better without all that pressure. Children should be happy. They should have time and energy to love Krishna, not just worry about the exam, the exam, the exam. For what? What's it going to do for you? It'll just promote you to get a better seat somewhere so you can do the same thing again, so you can make a lot of money. But I know billionaires who didn't do good in school at all. They have good karma. That's what Jagannath Mishra said to Sachi Mata. Jagannath Mishra said, "Our son is not going to study anymore." And Sachi Mata said, "How is he going to get a good wife? And how is he going to make a living if he doesn't study properly?" And Jagannath Mishra said, "Look, I've studied so much. I know so much shastra. I know so much everything. And there's no grains in our house. And look over there. That man over there, he does not know how to write a single letter of the alphabet. And yet all the pundits are coming to beg alms from him." Yes. So education, even if you have it, it doesn't mean you're going to make it. In America, there are tens and thousands of PhDs who don't have a job. Some of them work at the petrol pumps. And the persons who own the petrol pumps and the oil industries, some of them never even graduated high school. And the PhDs are pumping their gas. So we are all for education. IIT, very nice. So many nice devotees. But for children, they should have quality life along with their education. And they'll actually do better. They'll learn more. They'll learn more both theoretically and practically. And there are more advanced techniques of education that simply have been proven to work better. And we want to introduce those to Gopal's garden if the parents just open their hearts beyond their own conditionings. But I'm going to end here so you don't have any opportunity to think of anything else. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hari Bol.